All right. Good morning again, everybody. We are going to continue to take a look at Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. So if you'd like to open up to your Bibles, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that's where we'll be focusing our attention today. And as you're doing that, just to recap a little bit from last week where we looked at chapter 8, where Paul was urging the Corinthians to follow through on an act of generosity. They had apparently promised to give some generous gift to a donation Paul was collecting, and he's urging them to follow through on that. But really the core part of that message to them was about making themselves available as vessels of God's grace. And it's really valuable for us to remember that we have been blessed to know the abundance of God's grace. God, who chose to love us and pursue fellowship with us and provide opportunities for forgiveness of our sin in spite of anything we've done, in spite of who we are, God continues to offer himself to us. That is God's abundant and overflowing grace. He continues to offer that grace to us day after day. And so in response, Paul calls us, and we see this throughout the Bible, we see this call to respond by offering ourselves as vessels of God's grace so that others may know it as well. Paul holds up this example of the Macedonian churches who pleaded for the privilege of sharing in the service of the Lord's people. That's the kind of attitude we talked about last week, just so desiring that God could use us in some way to demonstrate his grace. That's one of the core motivations of Christian generosity. So now as we move into chapter 9, Paul actually continues his request to the Corinthians to make arrangements for this generous gift. Why don't we go ahead and start off by reading the first 5 verses. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, let me read verses 1 through 5. Paul says, "There is no need for me to write you about this service to the saints, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready, as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not saying anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. And then it will be ready as a generous gift, not one grudgingly given." So Paul is just urging them, just be ready. I know that you're generous people. I just want you to know that we're coming, and I want to be sure that you're ready. Now, as we continue on in the next section, Paul is going to remind them about an important truth about life, something that's important about all of our life in Christ. And I just want to highlight before I read the next verse. So verse 6 says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously." This is something that's communicated in several different ways throughout the Bible, and we're going to come back to this and dwell on this a bit. Whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Let me just continue reading on for a bit, and then we'll come back to this. I'm going to read through verse 15. Paul says, "Each man should give what he has decided to give in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. So let's go back again to that idea of sowing sparingly, sowing generously, reaping generously. As I said, this is communicated throughout the Bible. In Acts 20, we read again about Paul as he was taking his final journey to Jerusalem before he was arrested. He eventually ended up in Rome. And on this journey, he stops in Ephesus, one of the bigger churches that he had helped start, and he met with the elders there. And he let them know that the Holy Spirit was compelling him to go to Jerusalem, knowing that prison and hardship were ahead. And in Acts 20, verses 32 through 35, we read his parting words to them. Let me just turn to that. Acts chapter 20, verses 32 through 35. Here's what we read. This is Paul, a quote from Paul. He says, "Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. And everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work we must help the weak, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" And so that's a quote from Jesus himself. "It is more blessed to give than it is to receive." And it follows that same principle of reaping as you give, reaping more as you give generously. In Proverbs 19:17, we read, "Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will be reward them for what they have done." And in Proverbs 11:24 and 25, we read, "One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly and comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed." And all of these passages are communicating that same general message. You will be blessed if you are generous and giving of yourselves, if you sacrificially give out of the love and the grace that God has given you. It will produce a harvest of blessings in your own life. Now, taking a look at what Paul said when he made this analogy or a metaphor to a farmer planting seeds. And from a creation standpoint, from a natural standpoint, this idea of sowing and reaping makes a lot of sense. Anyone who's tended a garden knows that the seeds you plant will multiply what they produce. Every single seed produces a plant that itself produces multiple fruits and multiple seeds. So the more seeds you plant, the more abundant your harvest will be. It's built in into how God designed these plants to produce. So that idea of sowing generously leading to a generous harvest makes sense from an agricultural point of view. But we want to apply this metaphor now for giving of ourselves generously to the needs of others. Now, when I start thinking about giving generously to others, this metaphor starts to have some problems for me initially. At least from my perspective, I only have so many resources. I only have so many possessions, so much money, so much time. There's always a lot of needs, and I can't give enough without giving away everything I have and not have anything left for myself. And so that leads me to want to sow sparingly. I don't want to give up what I have. I want to make sure that I'm going to have enough. And if we always feel like we don't have enough to give, then we're going to withhold. But God's word tells us if we do that, we're going to reap sparingly as well. We need to come to terms with this and understand how this works in God's kingdom. And this is what Paul addresses in the rest of this chapter. He reminds us again and again of God and his abundant love and grace, and the things that he produces when we trust in him and we generously give. And this is what we need to constantly remind ourselves as Christians. We need to remember who God really is and trust in the promises he makes. God is faithful in fulfilling his promises. He promises to be present with us. He promises to provide what we need. He promises to comfort, to strengthen, to love, to have unending grace. God's faithfulness in all these things is one of the major pieces of evidence that convinces me over and over that my faith is well-grounded, that I have good reason to know that there is a God who created life, who loves me, that Jesus is his Son, who is able to make full payment for all of my sins and all of your sins through his death on the cross, and that God makes himself available to us day by day. It's God's faithfulness and his promises that shows me that this is true. There's so many times in my life that I've chosen to trust in God's promises and found him to be faithful. So what is Paul communicating to us here about God and his faithfulness? So first of all, he builds on that metaphor of sowing seeds and points out that God is the one who supplies the seeds for growing and for sowing. And that is to say that if God puts it on your heart to give of yourself to someone else, then he is the one who's providing the means for you to give. God is the one who supplies the seed for sowing. And we need to look beyond our own perspective. Like I said, when I look at my own life, I see limited resources. But God's resources are unlimited. And he's the one who gives to us in order to give to someone else. If God is providing something for you to give away to someone else, it's our responsibility to follow through on that. So if I was to hand you a $100 bill and say, this is for you to give to your neighbor, well, I would expect you to give them that whole $100 rather than reserving a piece of it for yourself. And that's the same concept that we're getting at here when we say that God is the one who provides seed for sowing. He gives you resources to give away. He wants you to give it all away. God wants all of his people to live generously, to offer themselves as vessels of his grace. So some of what we have, whether it's time, money, resources, knowledge that we can share, love and compassion, all the things that we can give to people, whatever it is that we have, God has provided at least part of that as something for you to sow into other people's lives, to give away, and to not keep for yourself. Now, our society as a whole doesn't recognize this, doesn't really understand it at all. What we tend to see is that all the things that I have, well, those are mine. I've worked for them. I've earned them. I need them. Right? They give me stability, comfort, status, whatever it is, so I need to hang on to everything that I've got, or I get to decide what it is. But in God's kingdom, in understanding what God does in our lives, we need to come to understand that, no, everything we have, first of all, comes from the Lord. He is the provider. And at least a portion of what he has provided us is meant to be given away, to be sown into other people's lives. And there's an aspect of faith involved in this, and again, understanding God's character. Paul not only says that God is the one who provides seeds, he is the one who provides bread for food. Which means that God is the one who provides what we need for ourselves as well. So, all the resources we have include God's provision for ourselves, so that we can be sustained, that we can have joy and comfort and stability in life, and also, on top of that, a portion of seed to be sown into other people's lives. And if we can develop that mindset and practice it and understand that God wants us to be able to give generously, we can adjust the way that we live and discover we actually have the means of being generous to other people and showing God's grace in that way. I've met so many people in life who desire to be a vessel of God's grace. They want to be generous, but they don't feel like they have the capacity to do it. They feel like they don't have enough. But really, that idea of not having enough is rooted in sin and selfishness. It's rooted in cultural ideas. It's rooted in thinking that doesn't recognize God's provision and how God does provide. It's not just that God provides us just enough to get by. No, God provides us an abundance so that we have a portion to give into other people's lives. Take a look at what Jesus said about giving in Luke 6:38. He says, "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And this is a similar message to what Paul is speaking to us today. God is generous to us. And he gives us an abundance so that we continue, so we can continue to give to others, to show his love and grace to them, as well as have all that we need. God doesn't shortchange us. He doesn't hold back. All those messages that communicate that to us are not from God. We have peace and stability and assurance from him. And if we recognize this and believe it to be true, then we can become the cheerful givers that God wants us to be. We won't have that hesitancy. We won't be holding back because we know that God has given us the seed for sowing and will joyfully give it for his work. So whatever it is that we have, God intends a portion of that to be sown and a portion to be used in your own life. But there's more to what Paul is saying about God's character here as well. So not only does God provide seed for sowing and bread for food, then Paul goes on to say he will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. What does that mean? So that says that if God gives you a certain portion of seed for sowing, for giving away, and you do that, then God will increase the portion of seed that he gives you. And this is the same message that Jesus told in his parable of the talents in Matthew 25. So in that parable, Jesus tells about a man who went away and he entrusted three different servants with a portion of his wealth. They didn't all have the same amount, right? The point wasn't about the amount that they had. The point was what they did with it. And two of them went out and took that portion and made a return on it. They invested it and used it, and they were good stewards, and they gave that back. The third one went and buried what he had in a hole in the ground because he was afraid. And he came back, and he gave back that portion to the master when he returned. The two that made an income off of what they invested and how they used those gifts were actually entrusted with more because they proved themselves to be good and faithful servants. So if you prove yourself to be trustworthy and generous vessels of God's grace in whatever portion he provides you, then he will know that you are trustworthy and you can be trusted with more and will increase the store of seed he gives you to sow into other people's lives. This is the message that God gives us throughout his word. So going back to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, which we've been building on, Paul says that God is the one who gives seed for sowing. Let me just read it directly. Verse 11. I'm sorry, is that the wrong verse? Oh. Sorry, I got to back up and read it. I wrote down the wrong verse. Verse 10. So he supplies seed to the sower. We talked about that. And bread for food will also supply and increase your store of food. And then he goes on to say, and then God will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Which means that whatever good you are able to do in other people's lives, whatever seed you sow into their lives, however generous you are and however kind you are, God will actually enlarge and multiply the work that's done in their lives. God will do work in people's lives beyond what we are capable of doing on our own. And I am so thankful for that. I can't tell you how many times that I've questioned, am I doing enough? Am I saying the right things? Am I really having a positive impact in people's lives? When I think about the things that I do on our community, like I'm coaching soccer right now, and asking, am I really making an impact for Christ in these kids' lives, or am I just teaching them how to play soccer? And this word that God, that Paul gives us about God, gives me some assurance that my best efforts are not all that they're receiving. It's not just that I'm planting some seeds, and if I sow them well enough, or I put enough out there, then maybe a harvest will come. No, it's that God will increase the harvest of righteousness beyond what I'm capable of doing. There's great assurance in that, that God will take our best efforts and multiply them. And He will ensure that people understand His love. They will come to see Him and give thanks to Him. And that's always the goal, right? It's not that we want to see, I want to have people see how good we are. We want to have people see how good God is. And so God will multiply our efforts in their lives. And so a harvest of righteousness, there we go, in their lives. And that's what Paul points out in the last part of verse 11 here in the rest of the chapter. At the end of verse 11, he says, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. And he goes on to say, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ, and for your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else. In their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. It's all about people seeing God, recognizing Him, and giving thanks to Him. That's the goal of living a generous life, the goal of sowing these seeds that God has given us to sow, that others may come to know His grace as well. All of this is about God's grace, isn't it? It's all about us as Christians, first of all, receiving it into our own lives, accepting it, embracing it, trusting in it, and recognizing that we have an abundance of God's grace. He just continues to pour it out into our lives in many practical ways. And He gives us an abundance, not only to know that we have enough, not only to just fill us up, but that we have so much that we give it away to others. We want to generously give that grace so that they may know it as well. So with all this in mind, I want to ask you today to just take a good look at your life. And begin just by that old call to action of counting your blessings. Just look at all the things that you have to be thankful for. And that is just a glimpse of all the ways that God has blessed and enriched your life. And then recognize that those blessings that He's given you are not only for yourself, but some of that, a portion of that, is meant to be sown generously into other people's lives. It's not always in the form of money and possessions. It might be in acts of love and service to others. Maybe it's ways that you give up your time. Maybe it's your ways that you bring someone into your life. There's all kinds of ways that we can give of ourselves. And God intends for us to do that. So He provides more than enough for us to be able to do that. What is it that you have that God has blessed you with in order to be a blessing to others? What is the seed that He has given you that is meant to be given away? Are you willing to trust Him that as you give, that He will actually give you more than you need so that you can continue to live generously? Are we willing to trust Him in that? The prophet Malachi said that God invited the Israelites to test Him in His generosity. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be enough room to store it. So God invites us to test in his generosity. But we have to take that step of faith first and begin living a generous life and seeing how God responds. You will reap a harvest that not only provides for your needs, but fills and refreshes you and gives you opportunity to be a blessing to others. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, because living generously does something good for your heart as well. It's satisfying to your own soul when you allow yourself to be used as a blessing to others. It's not a blessing that's measured in dollars and possessions, but rather in the great measure of joy and satisfaction and refreshment that you get knowing that God can and will work through you to show his love and grace and forgiveness to somebody else, and to seeing how that transforms their life. So I pray that you may recognize how God has richly blessed and provided for you with bread for food and seed for sowing, so that you may reap generously of God's love and blessings in your own life as you sow generously into others. Let's give thanks to God for his grace, for his overflowing provision, for the seeds that he plants in our lives in order to sow into others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your abundant grace and love. And I just want to pray, first of all, a blessing over all of us here, that we may see it clearly, that we may know how blessed we are. There's so many things in life that can cloud that and distract us from it, Lord. Let us just dwell in your love. Fill our hearts with thanks for who you are and what you've done for us. And may we all recognize too, Lord, that you have given us more than enough of what we need. And you've done it intentionally so that we have an abundance of seed to sow into other people's lives. Lord, we want to be faithful servants to you. Help us to live in such a way that we may generously give of what you have poured into our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.